7 o'clock. Welcome to the City Council meeting for the City of Shore Acres. It's Monday, June 12, 2017, at 7 p.m. First item on the agenda, 1.0, call to order, roll call.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowan.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Bowles.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderman Ramos.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
We have a forum.
2.0, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Special presentation, 3.0. I'm going to skip 3.1 and go 3.2, Alderman Snow is not here. 3.2, Bayport Terminal Update, Jeff Davis, Chief Port Operations Officer, Chief Port Operations Officer.
Here.
I'm going to start with the PDF or with the...
The PowerPoint.
Okay.
They're the same thing then. Again, Mayor, Council, thank you for having me this evening. Again, I'm Jeff Davis. I'm the Chief Port Operations Officer for the Port of Houston. I've been with the port about 23 years. I'll have my 23rd anniversary this probably next month, I think it is. So I have done work at both Barber's Cut and Bayport, and today I'm responsible for all the operations in the Port of Houston facilities. And again, I appreciate you having me. I got a handful of slides here, about 200. We ought to be through in about 2.5 hours. But actually just a handful of slides to show you some of the things that we're doing. As you may or may not be aware, we're governed by a port commission of seven commissioners. Our chairman, they're all volunteers. Our chairman is appointed by the City of Houston and Harris County. The other six, two are appointed by the City of Houston, two by Harris County, one by an area mayor's council, and one from Pasadena. And they oversee the executive management. Our executive director reports directly to them. Just a recap of some of the things that, that occurred last year, and this year, some of the highlights. Last year, Port Houston as a whole, you may or may not know that Port Houston represents about eight facilities, but Port of Houston, the greater Port of Houston, is about 200 facilities. And last year, Port Houston facilities, which that's who I work for, handled about 35 million tons of cargo across our docks. The two container terminals accounted for about two-thirds of that, and the rest is general cargo. Last year's container volume was up 2%. We handled 2.2 million TEUs at Barber's Cut and Bayport combined. A TEU is a term that we use for a 20-foot equivalent because we measure containers in terms of space. 40-foot container is two TEUs, and one TEU is a 20-foot container. So our business has been growing. The last 3 years, we're up about 11%. Last year, a highlight, we secured a weekly liner service from Asia into Bayport. And 10 years ago, we did not trade directly all water with Asia. That's our fastest growing market now. We have repurposed the cruise terminal into an auto terminal at Bayport now. We now have a railroad service that calls there and discharges Fiat Chryslers every 10 days, I believe, is the number. So no more cruise business. We've repurposed it into an automobile discharge terminal. You may have noticed that I'm not referring to us as Port Houston Authority any longer. We haven't changed what we are, but We have rebranded ourselves as Port Houston as a marketing, as we do provide services. We did some research, and Port Houston appealed more to the customer base and the communities versus the government sound of Port Houston Authority. This year, we're on target to do a little better than we did last year. Tonnage is up about 3%. TEUs are up quite a bit at 12%, with loaded containers being up 16%. So that means Barber's Cut and Bayport are really growing, doing well, and the loaded containers are what really drive our business. So with it being up 16%, that's a lot of growth for us. And we expect to see continued growth through export of resin. A lot of investments in the region. About $50 billion have been invested by the Shells and the Exxons of the world to produce resin, which is used to produce plastic products, cups and liners and things like that. All the plastics are made from resin, and this growth happened as a result of shale gas being made available in Texas now. And a lot of folks have invested in production of resin that makes plastics, and ultimately will wind up in containers going to different markets. I know it said Bayport on the agenda. I thought we were going to do Barber's Cut in Bayport. Do you want to see Barber's Cut, or do you want me to just kind of flip through these? Barber's Cut, 40-year-old terminal. She had her 40th birthday this year. We've done a lot there. We're doing a lot there to try to accommodate growth and accommodate larger vessels that we've already begun to see. This terminal was built in 40 years ago. It was built a standard that matched what the Panama Canal was then, and so we started to upgrade to match what the current Panama Canal capacity for a ship is. We started redoing some yard space. There's 20 acres we did about 2 years ago. We're on a path to redo the entire yard. That portion of the terminal is about 80 acres. It was leased by a third-party operator, Maersk, in APM lines. And so there were two different facilities that operated there. We've since taken that 80 acres back and now operate the entire facility as one Port Houston facility. We did a dock. We took possession of that dock about a year ago. Larger cranes, you may see them as you come over the bridge. They're much larger than the existing cranes. And that is to facilitate the larger ships that fit through the Panama Canal. We have a second berth that has been redone to be modernized, and we just finished construction on it, and we're awaiting delivery of three new ship shore cranes there. And we've done 42 acres of yard that we're continuing to expand there, and it's all about capacity. Converting some areas, like that area had two warehouses in it, and now be converted to container handling space. Had to redo electrical. CenterPoint, we did a deal with CenterPoint, but we sold them some land. They put in a substation to be able to facilitate the new cranes that we're putting in there, as well as have a greater electrical distribution to the area as well. It's not only just for the container port. And we're redoing some of the gate complexes where we process trucks in and out to ensure that we're able to accommodate the growth. And the third dock at Barber's Cut is under design now, and we'll probably begin construction on that at the end of 2018. So Barber's Cut will continue to have those colored areas kind of penciled in as we redevelop and continue to prepare for future growth there. And this is a master plan of what we're doing. So it's already been designed in terms of master planning and what the facility is going to look like and how it's going to behave once all of the reconstruction efforts are complete. Bayport, obviously that's what's on the agenda. This was what Bayport looked like from a master plan 2 years ago. The water is north in this picture. The purple areas are grounded areas where grounded containers go. Pink areas are empty containers, and the orange and the blue-green are wheeled containers that stack on high. So the gray areas are master planned areas, and those are the areas that have yet to be developed or You'll see here in just a second that some of that gray has been developed over the last 2 years. We've got currently 3,300 foot of dock, and there are 9 ship-to-shore cranes currently working. So last year we took possession of a new 25 acres of yard space there, so that's new capacity for the container yard. In anticipation of the growth, the resin market has driven a lot of the expansion plans that are happening here. That green arrow, I don't know if you noticed it pop up at the bottom of the screen, that's Southport Road, and we built a new road that's about a mile long there with a cul-de-sac that has that's intended to attract distribution centers and those sorts of things. And you'll see it in the master plan in just a second. But a second 25 acres in Terminal 6 there is under construction today. We expect to get that by the first quarter of next year. And again, that is continuing to expand yard space for new throughput. The gate areas, the purple areas are the gate areas where the trucks enter and exit the facilities. Last year, we expanded that gate by 8 lanes, and we're just now bringing them online operationally because we put in some new IT infrastructure to help facilitate truck movements. Our goal is to keep them off the street. That blue spot up there at the far right, you may have noticed the construction going on the water. That's a new 700 foot of dock that we're building. So that'll give us 4,000 continuous feet of dock, and 3 new cranes will be delivered probably mid-next year for that dock. There's some more yard space that will begin construction in August. And you can see we're starting to cover up all of the gray areas with colored areas. That's another 25 acres of yard space on the bottom left that will be an empty container yard within the footprint there. Just hit something, I don't know what came up. Did I miss one?
Number 7, yeah, big one.
That is the next yard, and that's Terminal 7, and it's under design now. Demand will drive when we build that, so it's under design. We think it could be as early as 2019 when that construction begins, but we'll just have to see how volume and demand drive that growth. We have a master plan, obviously. It calls for 7,000 foot of dock. We're about to, with that addition of that new dock, we'll be at the 4,000 foot mark. So there would be 2 docks on the west side and another one added on the east side at full build out. And each one of them are master plan to have 3 ship to shore cranes. I mentioned that area south of Port Road, you can kind of see that commercial development along that straight line there next to Total, and that's that distribution center kind of area that we're planning. We have community feedback line. We have some community feedback opportunities, information line. Last year we got about 30 calls, 24 of them concerning the Bayport operations, primarily sound related. 16 of them were directly linked to Port Houston operations. This year we've had 29 calls. 27 of the calls are concerning Bayport operations, and 14 of those are unique callers. So it appears someone has called repeatedly. But the community relations email address is given there. We have online feedback at porthouston.com, and certainly our chairman continues to lead a chairman's citizens advisory council. I think I met one of the members tonight. So at any rate, that's a quick less than 250 slide update, and I'll certainly entertain any questions or thoughts if anybody has any.
Yeah, what about the noise you make dropping containers all the time?
Well, you know, we've done a lot to try to mitigate that in terms of using soft landing parameters on our cranes and those kind of things. But again, when we field the calls, we go investigate what's going on there and try to do our best.
I understand that. When you make a call, not 1,000 of them, but 24 hours, and you'll get back here within 24 hours, the down shift's gone, and everybody's scratching the butt, what's going on. So I don't understand. I'm told it's laser projected. And if they're laser projected, you need to get the gorillas out and get the train drivers in.
Well, I understand the concern, and we are addressing, we have addressed a lot of those, and we will continue to look at it, and we use the hotline as the lead into it. So I encourage you to call it, and we'll take a look at it.
I called 1,000, but I never got a response from it. So what's the point in calling 1,000 all the time? I got another number, and that lady's name is Leslie.
Leslie Carson, correct.
Yeah, I call her now. I get more response from her than that 1,000 number.
Well, you found a good person to talk to.
I know,
Leslie.
Yeah.
Leslie is absolutely a good person to talk to.
Yeah, she responds within the same day.
That's good. That's good to hear the positive feedback.
Yeah. If that 1,000, I think that's a waste of time. But I never get a response from that.
That's Leslie's number, so.
I've got my
number. Let me talk to Leslie about it. She's responsible for that as well.
Yeah.
I'm not minimizing.
No, I don't understand.
I'm not at all.
So is that the noise when they're dropping the containers?
Yeah.
I heard it's when they drop the whole door.
The hatch.
Noise.
Well, the hatch is under the crane, but it goes into slowdown mode. The containers when they're on deck and those kind of things, it's still going into slowdown mode. The lasers, but
it's loud. It shakes your house.
Yeah, I can't, without seeing it firsthand, it'd just be speculation. But the hatch cover is going on the ground.
Probably between them calls. Right. I'll just tell you, I call all the time.
Jed, if you don't mind, would you back that up one slide so anyone that wants to get that hotline number that they can go ahead and write it down?
Absolutely.
Sounds like we need the other number. Well, I have good luck with that number, especially if you call during the day and complain. Wednesday night, there's a crew that comes in Wednesday night, and they are the worst. They need some training. A good crane operator can drop something and not make a sound. These crane operators have contests. See who can make the most sound. I'm telling you, they do. They shake your house.
It's getting worse.
At Christmas time, you get all the Chinese crap coming through Walmart.
And
this is horrible.
That is that. You do during Christmas time, and Walmart is employees and painters.
That's what I'm doing.
And I don't know if it's changing or not, but there's more activity as we grow. There's more opportunity for noise to happen. So I'm being just really honest. There's more opportunity.
It's just
that it's getting louder. Well, I was going to say, the other thing that bothers me is, and I know they have to do this because they cut some off, the damn ships that's out there running 24, 48 hours, and it's like I don't know if you've ever had, it's like having a semi sitting in front of your house running that long. And I'm like down, I'm pretty far down.
Yeah, but we're right here on Baywood, and if I'm downstairs, I hear a lot of it. Upstairs, when we go to bed at night, I don't hear much of the container droppings. Maybe I'm just used to it now. But that engine running, it's
crazy.
Wild. Lay there and listen to it. It's just like she was saying. But
it's
you told me it out too.
You have to. I put a window unit in so I could hear it.
Has the port considered installing the equipment that will allow for coal ironing like the ports of LA and Long Beach have done?
We have that in our master plan, but really all we have is conduit running out there. There's an electrical supply that has to happen, and there's some upgrades that have to be done to the system. But the state of Texas, California requires it there, and the state of Texas does not.
My point is that you shouldn't be waiting for somebody to poke you with a sharp object. You should be doing that because you've already heard people have concerns about the ships operating, which are also a source of air pollution because they're operating at their most per unit of time polluting phase, and that's what the coal, that's what drove the coal burning in the ports of LA and Long Beach. That stopped those air quality management systems. But you don't want to wait a thing for somebody in the state of Texas to decide they're not going to wait for TCEQ or Harris County to jump you guys. Some of us know a little bit about that coal ironing.
I used to be the director of rules for the South Coast.
Yes, we definitely made something.
Yes, Madam President, if you can go back one slide to the Bayport picture.
Sure.
North of the turning basin, there's a big berm going in out there, some sort of, that's kind of growing along what is on South Country Club on our side road here. What's that berm and kind of what's going on there?
You know, I wish I had a better explanation for you. I don't think we have any property up there north any longer. On the north side of the turning basin, on this side?
It says Port of Houston Authority, just right north of the turning basin.
That piece right there next to the school, is that what you're talking about?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Still on that side of the bayou.
Yeah, I'm not the real estate guy. I apologize for that. But I believe there's something going in, has to do with the school, and I'm just not well-versed in that.
Further east from there, or west from there.
Yeah. I'm just not versed enough to really give you an answer in that piece of property.
Sir?
Yes, ma'am.
I have just one question. Besides increase in trucks and increase in noise, because I live on Maywood and I have waterfront property now, what does Shore Acres get out of the expansion of the Port of Houston?
I don't know that I can speak directly to, you know, to Shore Acres, but
I don't see anything there. It's got noise and trucks, of which back in 1970, when my father-in-law was alive, and they made a pact with the Port of Houston that there would be no problem at all with noise. They made a bridge, it was a little wooden bridge back in the Chicago, and said there would be no problem. I want to be told.
Ma'am, I wish I could speak to.
It would be nice if Shore Acres could get something out.
Davis, if I might, it is important that you do keep calling, and I will let Leslie know that that number isn't always effective, but the time, if you let her know when you call, the time of the noise, span, the night, there are different vessels calling at different times. Staff has been able to deal with specific vessels when I believe that's your turn to ask.
That's our staff.
Right.
We know what time it is, and unless there are two of them side by side, you know, it's hard to ascertain exactly what was going on between the two. But we have had success in working with some shifts about issues.
Yeah, and that's what I want to let you know. If you can, let them know what day, what time they were able to track down the ship. And on occasion, they're able to track down the source of noise. For example, that one, there was the white shark that came on.
BMA,
kept coming in
BGM
with that generator.
Yes.
The noise that you're talking about, the auxiliary engine, they were able to get them to repair it. So there's some hope there. So keep calling. Give them the information.
I agree. I totally agree. And we've been able to work with some bunkering companies, the companies that provide fuel barges to the ships, and have worked on some things with them as well. We don't know unless you let us know. Sorry.
They have my name. They'll owe it to you again. I mean, that's pretty much it. She called on the phone.
But if you give us something that we can go investigate.
Oh, yeah, I
then,
do. Love
then,
the
we can, then we're able, you know.
And everybody's always real sorry, you know, but it's still loud. And it's still annoying because, you know, when there's nobody there, it's like a little piece of heaven to sit in your backyard. When they're there, you can't even talk. Unfortunately, it's called commerce, and there's jobs involved. Do you have one there? We don't.
Pardon me?
Do you have a job there?
No, but the jobs in this area support our area.
Yeah, but those guys don't live here.
They don't
live anywhere near. They live on the other
side. Okay, so is there any more questions for Mr. Davis?
I would like to know the status of the rail shuttle system they were talking about putting in between there and Bayport.
You know,
in Walrus County.
That's something that Texas A&M is working on, and we signed a letter. Our executive director signed an agreement to look at it, but it's purely in its early stages of purely evaluation. And that's a shuttle, that's an elevated shuttle to move freight and take trucks off the road.
But do they have any idea where they're going to locate it yet?
No type of design like that has been done. The model showed in the middle of the freeway, that sort of thing.
Which above the freeway?
146, main 146?
It's elevated so it doesn't. So it takes trucks off the road and puts them on an automated shuttle. But it is so far in its infancy that it has no.
There's no time frame.
There's no time for it. It's purely an evaluation mode right now.
Thank you.
Just
one question. And first of all, thank you so much for coming out.
Sure.
Because what I'm hearing here is, and you're telling us to keep calling, and that's more of a reactive type approach, which is, that's good, we need to do that too. But is there anything that the port is doing in terms of a proactive approach to the noise, such as measuring the noise level at the port, so that you'll be able to see when these incidences occur and so forth?
You know, I'm the operations guy, and I wish I had enough of that knowledge to share with you what was happening there. I know we had noise monitors out for a while. I don't know if they're still in place, but I could certainly carry that message back to Leslie and her group, and we can reach back out to you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Answering all of our questions.
You bet.
Thank you. We're going to move on to 4.0, council reports and requests. 4.1, Mayor Sanford, 4.1.1, items of community interest. I don't have anything.
Did you leave me on the
phone? So we're going to move on to 5.0, public hearing and public comment. 5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on the agenda. So we're going to start down here.
I'm still Neil Moyer, 1118 North Country Club. I'd like to discuss at least one item on 7.1. There's at least one receipt in your packet for $2,000 worth of plumbing services. I'm kind of curious, I think council should be curious on how that expenditure of public funds came about. Were there any fiscal safeguards in place? Were there any other receipts in this package that would be similar or analogous? Were there been any in the past month or two similar to that also? Moving right along, this has to do with item 7.5. There are generally recognized two types of distractions for drivers. There are passive and active distractions. Listening to the radio by a driver might be considered a passive distraction. For some drivers, chewing gum might be a passive distraction. Active distractions are activities which take the driver's attention and divides it between what should be their primary and my exclusive responsibility. It's paying attention to the way they're driving and to the traffic around them and to the rest of us. A lot of people believe the cab of their vehicle is a phone booth. And I'm sure that's great for cell phone sales, but it is an active distraction. And cell phone use, whether hands-free or not, has been recognized in the courts and by police authorities as a distraction that may be de facto considered a contributing cause to vehicular incidents. It doesn't matter whether someone is holding a cell phone clapped up to the side of their head. You can put a cell phone down, for example, and put it on speaker, in which case technically you're doing hands-free. It's the distraction of maintaining conversation on a phone, listening to one end of the message, talking on the other, and otherwise essentially not paying attention as much to your driving and to the safety of the rest of us. This is a poor proposal. for the council to be considering tonight. I would like the council to consider quashing it by your vote. The last action I'd like to report on is establishing a schedule for city council meetings. I'm not sure I entirely comprehend the distinctions that are being made. The council is by ordinance to meet twice a month, second and fourth Monday instead of one. I think that's an obligation that all the council members have to make time available to attend those regularly scheduled meetings. It helps citizens understand when city business is going to be conducted. And when you deviate from that, particularly for regular council meetings, I think that's shirking the responsibility of the council. Now, if the council wants to add meetings, workshops, even mandatorily scheduled workshops, that's probably a good thing considering the difficulty this council has had in having workshops regularly scheduled or on an ad hoc basis. But regularly scheduled opportunities for workshops would probably be a good thing. Not having regularly scheduled twice a month meetings for the council would be a poor choice on your part, and I would recommend that you not consider making either the first or second meeting optional or not scheduled in advance. Thank you.
Donna Day, 616 Baywood. Just a couple of things. I actually have to agree with Mr. Moyer that I don't believe we need to go down to one meeting a month, especially since we're going into this new government and the city manager. I think we need to stay with the two meetings a month for now. The other thing is I found out this weekend that we only have one police officer on duty at night on the weekend. And there was quite a few calls from what I gathered this weekend between Sheriff and the court. And one incident was in front of my house, which they had to call LaPorte, which took the lady quite a while to get over from the other side of LaPorte. I feel like that we need at least during the summer, and especially on weekends, a Friday, Saturday night, two officers. I mean, it's too much for one officer to handle when there's seven or eight calls going on, especially one that might be a really bad accident that takes him out of service. So I wish y'all would consider that. Thanks.
Anybody else in here? We're going to move on to 6.0 administrative report. 6.1 to the administrative general activity report. Mr. Paul.
Good evening. I have a lot to report on this evening, but we did receive our new copier printer scanner. It's our heavy duty network printer, and we're real pleased with it. You may have noticed in your council packet that gets emailed that the new machine scans in color. We didn't spend any additional money on the new machine. It's the same monthly rate as we previously had leased. We've picked up now a color scanner, which frankly helps us with some of the interaction we do with the state that requires signatures to be in color. And now we don't have to do that separately. And today we printed our first utility billing using the new machine, and it worked just fine. Probably aware we had a water issue over the weekend. Someone had a driving issue, which led to an electrical issue and a cable TV issue. And our generator kicked on at the water plant and picked up our operation, but apparently there was a spike in the voltage that caused us a problem with our controls. And so the pumps short cycled and gave us low pressure and then ultimately high pressure, which then led to a water break that we had in the city as a result of the pressure issues. So it was a lose-lose all the way around, but it was driven by the controls. And that's the only two issues that I had to bring up this evening.
Okay, 6.2, monthly financial report.
And with the resolution that we passed for one meeting a month. Pushed the financial report up to the first meeting to the extent possible. And I will, in your packet, is the budget fiscal year to the end of the last month. Text pool numbers are text pool account is $411,790.05. That's one of the numbers that was not available last Thursday but came in today. So in your packet, here in the hard copy, you've got current numbers. Same is true of the Texas Community Development Block Grant. The balance is $22,479.92. That number came in today. In your packet going out Thursday, balances of checking accounts, general fund, $450,885.88. Utility fund, $114,422.37. And we're holding on to $58,333.84 in utility deposits. We have four certificates of deposit, a maturity value of $250,190.08. And today we also got our sales tax numbers that we didn't have Thursday. Our general sales tax revenue for May is $5,169.80. That's down 7% over the same month last year. And the road sales tax was $1,292.45. Property tax received last month in May $14,738, and that brings our year to date through the end of May to $842,454. And that's the financial report.
6.3 monthly police department report, Garrison.
Thank you. Bringing your attention to the report, I would like to add that this past month we did make an arrest in the burglary that we spoke about from a couple of months ago where the guns were stolen from Shore Acres Boulevard. We filed what's called a 2B warrant because we don't actually have him, the person, in custody, but he is in custody at the Galveston County Jail. So as soon as he serves his time in Galveston, if he doesn't go to prison from there, we'll get him to Harris County, and he'll actually go before the judge on our charges, but we're closing that case out from our point of view because we have secured an arrest in it. I was gone for a couple of days, but I was kind of amazed at the number of citations that was written as I was gone on Shore Acres Boulevard. I guess the young patrolman took it upon himself to work a lot of traffic control on Shore Acres Boulevard, and I'm ashamed to say that a lot of our citizens are the ones speeding. A lot of them were issued citations this past week, this past weekend, and we hate doing that. We absolutely hate it, but we've got to slow the traffic down on Shore Acres Boulevard. It continues to be fast, so we're going to continue to put officers out there in different spots using different methods to track down the violators that continue to go too fast. And some of them aren't just a few miles over. We're giving them some leeway on that, and they're still continuing to speed. And I saw a couple of citations from the freeway well over 100 miles an hour from citations this weekend. So a lot of fast traffic out there that we've got to slow down, and we're doing our best to do it.
Okay.
Excuse me, I have a couple of questions. Chief, you mentioned burglary. We're showing another burglary in May. What was that?
It's a follow-up. It should have been a follow-up.
So it was not another burglary.
We've had some thefts in there. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay burglar, but there's a difference between a theft and a robbery, by the way, because a lot of people call us and say they've been robbed.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, we've not had another burglary that I'm aware of.
You have four ordinance violations. Did any of them ring a bell?
Yes, sir. The gentleman that was at council meeting, I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. We went over the next day. I made contact with the gentleman, very polite, and he had his yard cleaned up that day. I know I sent out a couple of letters in the last couple of weeks. I've got those back, and some things have been cleaned up, and it seems to be going pretty well. We still have a lot to go. I noticed they mowed on North Country Club at Bayou today. I kept hoping they cleaned up that pile across the street, but they didn't. I think it's their master one. They cleaned it up last time, but I didn't see them put it there.
Last question, budget-wise, where are we on the records management system? We're showing that we still haven't spent any funds on that.
Yeah, I have purposely not spent that yet, only because the fiber optics, I think, Mr. Stahl, you'd have to help me here. A week ago, they pulled it in, but the switch hadn't been tested yet. I don't know if that was done last week or not.
It was not done last week.
So we're right on track. I didn't see buying the software until everything else is ready.
Okay, so the connection is not made from City Hall to the police department yet?
No, that connection, it's the fiber optics that comes to this building where the server lays. And that fiber optics, that's taken us 5 months on their end, not on our end, but on their end. I think about 5 months.
Right. Yeah, the fiber optics between the two buildings has been in for several years. Mm-hmm. It's between the City of Lee City Police Department and this building.
Thank you.
Anybody else on council have any questions? Thank you. And moving on to 6.9 Monthly Public Works Department, Mr. Stahl.
The written report is in your packet. There are a couple items that I mentioned. And we've had a chronic wastewater overflow with heavy rain event that occurs on Shady Lawn at Old Highway 146. We again had that line cleaned and televised to look for a problem. There are no cave-ins. There are no bad taps. As previously, a couple of years ago, we did the same thing. There's no signs of why there was a problem. And strangely enough, with the last heavier rain event that we had, not counting this, just this last couple of days, so I guess it's a couple of rain events, we've had no additional overflow problems. So it continues to puzzle us. We've had a city engineer out previously, and now we've got AAA out. We have the videos. It's an unusually small line, but there's no indication of why it's overflowing, so we're keeping an eye on that. We're pleased it hasn't overflowed in the last couple of events. But also note that I mentioned the council of us having some booster pumps being serviced. Repair of two of those pumps has been complete. That doesn't mean those pumps weren't functioning. They had bad seals or alignment issues, but those have been repaired. And we have two more pumps that are in work to be repaired. And all that work is occurring here. We're not pulling pumps or motors out, sending them off. It's being accomplished here on site. And that's all I've got.
I have a question. Under miles of ditch inspected, how do they inspect it? What is that?
Okay, the ditch inspections are one of the things that we do as part of flood prevention. And they drive the ditch line and they look for trash and debris and trash cans and things that could obstruct a culvert pipe and remove any trash or debris.
It says that they inspected 10 miles.
Yes, ma'am.
When they're reading the meters, why can't they inspect the ditches if they're just walking the ditches?
Well, most of our meters are behind houses. They're on the back lot line.
Do they walk through the ditch, though, or past the ditch to get there?
Most are.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense if they could actually increase this number if they were looking at the ditches while they're reading the meters?
Well, I think that... Well, I don't know that they aren't counting that already, but that's crossing a ditch between blocks as opposed to another front yard, yeah.
Okay, and then it says days mowed 3, but hours 12.2.
Correct.
So they mowed for 3 days, a few hours each day?
Yes. We have records of how many hours each day, and so it's less than full days of mowing, and that number is coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Stahl, where do we stand on the culvert going under 146? The sewage discharge under 146.
The replacement of the wastewater line or aligning the wastewater line?
Yes.
We have sent that to the city engineer to now get us pricing on performing that work. Previously, it provided us with prices for teething and cleaning it and doing an inspection. But we think that the TV work that we had done just from the manhole is sufficient
to move to the next level of getting a price to actually perform the work, and I have not received that number from him. But I'll give him a call tomorrow and see where we're at on that.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Moving on to business 10.0, 7.1, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-254 approving the payment of invoices. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve resolution 2017-264 approving payment of invoices.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have a motion to approve resolution number 2017-264 approving the payment of invoices brought by Hoskins, seconded by Bowles? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against? Moving on to 7.2. Consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-266, adopting a city manager form of government, appointing a city manager establishing duties and responsibilities for the manager salary and retiring and so on. This is Mr. or Alderman Bowles. I'm sorry.
I make a motion to consider and approve ordinance number 2017-266, adopting a city form manager form of government, adding section 2-4 appointment of the city manager, providing a severability clause, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meeting law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Do you have a second?
Second.
We have a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-266 brought by Bowles and seconded by McCown. Do we have a discussion? Unless you have a floor first.
This is just a follow-up. We're required by law. We have a certain amount of time to do it after the election since we've changed our form of government. So this is just some housekeeping. So that's all I have.
Okay, so we're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? And it passes unanimously. Moving on to 7.3, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-265, electing and appointing members of the audit committee. Do we have a motion? We don't have a motion. Okay.
Do we have a motion? I can't hear it down here. So.
Yeah, we'll ask for a motion if you have a motion.
Okay, well, if nobody else will, I'll make a motion to approve 2017-265, a resolution elected and appointing the members of the audit committee, making various findings and provisions related to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date thereof.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Can you give
on
a second? Discussion?
We'll
give it to Jenny.
Now I'm going to make another motion, a motion to amend. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a motion to amend. I'm going to add a that clause, and that will be after the now therefore be a result by City Council of the City of Troy Acres. I'm going to make a motion to add a clause that said that the city hereby rescinds the mayor and mayor pro tem exclusion found in resolution number 2016-193, section 2, subsection A, and hereby provide that the mayor and mayor pro tem can be elected as a member of the audit committee.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion brought by Alderman Green, seconded by Hoskins, to rescind a portion of the resolution that states that the mayor or mayor pro tem cannot be on the audit committee. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do we have discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And it passes unanimously. So we have, now we're going to go back to resolution number 2017-265 brought by Alderman Jenny, seconded by Ramos. Do we want discussion?
I'm going to make a nomination now.
Okay.
To nominate for there are two positions for council. The provision says that the city council hereby elects following two council meetings to the audit committee for the remaining balance of a 2-year term beginning on June 13, 2017, ending on June 30, 2018. And I will nominate Ricky Bowles and Felicia Ramos to those two positions.
Okay. So do we. Is anybody in, is everybody in favor of that?
Yeah, second.
Second.
Okay, so it's brought by, so the appointment is brought by Jennings and seconded by McCown. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. and it passes unanimously. So we have appointed Felicia Ramos and Ricky Bolt. So now we're going to go back to the resolution.
Just for clarity's sake, Mayor,
mm-hmm.
Bowles and Ramos were already on the committee.
Right.
They're just finishing their year. This is all I'm trying to do here. Just let them finish the year.
Okay. All right. So we're going to – we have
one more.
Okay. You have one more?
The one more would be that the City Council hereby appoints the following citizen at large to the Audit Committee for the remaining balance of a two-year term beginning on June 13, 2017 and ending on June 30, 2018. And I will nominate Tim Pugh, Shoreacre's Boulevard right here, to complete the balance of that term 1 year.
Okay, so we have an appointment brought by Alderman Jennings of Tim Pugh. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Bowles. In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we have appointed Tim Pugh, and we have appointed Ramos and Bowles. So now we're going to go back to the original resolution. All those in favor of approving resolution number 2017-266? I'm sorry. Wait a second. Hold on a second. Okay, I'm sorry. Resolution number
2017-266.
265. Okay. I'm apologizing. That was a lot that we just did. So we're going back to approve resolution number 2017-265. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that passes unanimously. So we're going to go on to 7.4, consideration and action to approve resolution number 2017-266, creating a city manager advisory committee, identifying the purpose and objective of the committee, establishing the composition of the committee, and appointing members of the audit committee. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to consider and approve resolution number 2017-266, creating a city manager advisory committee, identifying the purpose and objective of the committee, establishing the composition of the committee, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion brought by Bowles, seconded by Ramos, to approve resolution 2017-266, creating a city manager advisory committee. Do we have discussion?
Last meeting we discussed timeline for Mr. Stahl's replacement. He's going to be retiring in a few months, and we want to get the input of the citizens on this, so we're creating a committee to where that way give them some advice, what they think, what they're looking for, that sort of thing. So we're trying to do here. So
we're going to start with Jennings.
Okay. Pardon me for being confused for just a minute. I've got 266 as two different ordinances here.
Yeah, I think that's where I was.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. 266 is adopting the city manager, and this one's 266 creating the advisory committee.
Mm-hmm. Once the resolution.
Once the resolution. That's right. Yep, that's correct.
We're on.
So the numbers are good?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to, on resolution number 2017-266, I'm not sure we need a member from council on this, but since the resolution reads this way, After giving it quite a bit of thought, actually, I would like to nominate Alderman Hoskins for that particular number.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a nomination brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles, of Alderman Hoskins for the advisory committee. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And it passes.
For the citizen members, I have a couple. I don't know if anybody else has any more, but I would like to nominate Ms. Billy Bowles on Baywood, Mr. Gary Morgan Gulkey on Shoreacre Boulevard, and Mr. Gary Arant on Bioforest.
Can you repeat those names again? Billy Bowles. Who else?
I'm sorry?
And who else? I've got Billy Bowles, but the other ones. Who are the other ones?
Gary Morgan Gulkey on the front row here.
Gary Morgan?
Gulkey.
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 page?
I messed it up. Sorry.
Gulkey. And then the other one?
Gary Arant on Bioforest up in front of the neighborhood.
Gary Arant. Well, how do you spell his last name?
A-R-R-A-N-T.
Okay, so we have a nomination brought by Alderman Jennings of Billy Bowles, Gary Gulkey, is that right? And Gary Arant. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
And it's seconded by Bowles. Do we have discussion?
I just to let you know how I came about these particular names. I try to get a broad representative of the neighborhood, that people that may lived here for a while and may not be here in front of us maybe, but just a different perspective. And like I said earlier about Alderman Hoskins, just some people that bring new ideas to this. And it's an advisory committee, and I think it's the best way to go for the city. And I certainly, you know, the people that I've nominated, I think will do a great job.
Okay, is anybody else? Okay, so we're going to vote on the appointment of Billy Bowles, Gary Gulkey, and Gary Arant. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? So we're going, are there any more? Do you have any more nominations or anything?
That's it. Okay. I just want to expand the committee.
Okay, so we're going back to approval resolution number 2017-266 that was brought by Bowles, seconded by Ramos. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? And it passes. 7.5, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2017-267, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 62.6, restricting the use of portable electronic devices while driving a motor vehicle, brought by Hoskins. Do we have a motion?
I'll move to approve ordinance 2017-267, amending City Shoreacre City Code Section 62-6, restricting the use of portable electronic devices while driving a motor vehicle.
Do we have a second? Can I for lack of a second?
I will second it.
Okay, seconded by Jennings. So we have a motion brought by Alderman Hoskins, seconded by Jennings, for approval of ordinance number 2017-267, amending Shoreacre City Code Section 62.6, restricting the use of portable electronic devices while driving a motor vehicle. We have discussion?
Start it goes to me first.
Right.
Originally, ordinance section 62-6, which was passed in 2010, restricted the use of texting while driving, which we all know is highly, highly dangerous, as I certainly agree with Mr. Moyer on in his comments. In Texas at that time, I think we were like the sixth city to do that. And to date, Texas has not banned texting and driving yet. There is a bill to the governor that would do that, and there's four states in the whole country that allow texting while driving. Texas happens to be one of them. I thought about this quite a bit. I was asked by a few citizens to put this on, and this has to do with not just texting while driving, but also actively using your hands while driving. And that would include using a phone and so forth. So what this does is this makes the use of portable electronic devices, you can only use them if your hands free. When you take a look at our city and our city streets, you really do have to pay attention going down these streets because they're pretty narrow. And there's kids out there on bicycles. We don't have sidewalks in most of our city. And all the devices today, you know, Siri, call home. It works. And I don't have much of a problem with that at all. And I think this will, if we can enforce this properly and everybody abides by it, it'll make our city safer. I do know of one young Shoreacre's resident who's not even 20, that's been involved in four accidents. Three of them was that resident's fault, and it had to do with this. I think this just makes common sense that we use the technology that we have to increase the safety. And that's why I put this on here. The council will pass it. We have discussion as to why we shouldn't do this. Thank you.
Can I start with Jenny?
I'll be happy to. Actually, Mr. Hoskins, Governor Abbott just signed HB 62, which is a statewide ban on texting while driving. So What I'm going to do right now is make a motion to amend ordinance 2017-267, striking all language that Mr. Hoskins put forward. But after, I'm going to make a motion to amend 267 by saying after that section 62.6-6 of the Storyker City Code is hereby amended to read as follows, with a sentence that reads that 62-6 of the Storyker City Code is hereby repealed. What that will do is put us in line with state law. State law supersedes Shoreacres, you know, and if you follow the Texas legislature, actually there's going to be an even further provision saying that cities can't make ordinances like these. For instance, oh, wait a minute, I made a motion, I need a second, sorry.
There is a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So the motion brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles, to amend the ordinance to repeal the language concerning 62.6, is that correct?
Yes, and again, it boils down to what I'm trying to do here is just repeal the ordinance in its entirety. Because Texas law, HB 62, signed by the governor, will prohibit this. And
so all those in favor?
Whoa, there's still discussion.
Okay.
Actually, in doing so, it simply prohibits texting while driving. You can still sit there while you're driving and punch in your GPS numbers, dial telephone numbers, look up all other information. You just cannot read text messages, which is a very specific electronic form of communication. My proposal was to create an environment for drivers where it's hands-free only, where if you want to give a command to your phone, dial a number, you can do that, but you can't physically touch it. You have to use two hands to drive and to focus on that. The original one, which we've had in for 7 years, is what Texas has signed. So we're really, you know, another way to do this is just to simply not even pass ordinance 217-267 at all, and it's based on the same thing that Texas already has. There are no provisions that disallow us to put code and ordinances out there that fully comply with Texas code. So I mean, I don't see the point of
are you there?
Go ahead.
And just as you, I don't see the point of having an ordinance on our books that is duplicated by state law and that state law supersedes. So again, my motion is to rescind this ordinance in its entirety and let state law do state law. I mean, honestly, just as an example, going from here, just going from here, if you go down Fairmont from here to Pasadena, you're going to go through four different jurisdictions with four different laws about taxing. That's the state purpose in getting one uniform law. So we just need to rescind ours and follow state law.
Okay, so we have a motion that was brought by Jennings, seconded by Bowles, to repeal the language referring to 62.6 from ordinance number 2017-267. Is that correct?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Okay, so it passes 4-1. Alderman Jennings, Alderman McCown, Alderman Bowles, Alderman Ramos being in favor, Alderman Hoskins being against. So, where do we go from there? So now that
we vote on the amended ordinance.
Okay, so we're going to vote on the amended ordinance. And there was a motion brought by Hoskins, seconded by Jennings. Do you want discussion on this, or are we just going to vote? So, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Okay, so it passes 4-0. We have Alderman Jennings, McCown, Bowles, and Alderman Ramos against, and we have Alderman Hoskins who has abstained. So it passes. We're moving on to 7.6, discussion regarding resolution number 2017-262, establishing a schedule for city council meetings. Hoskins.
Thank you. Well, resolution 217-262 is already passed. It was passed at the second meeting in May.
What that resolution did is it set forth a way that we would no longer have two meetings a month, a second meeting a month. I wasn't sure it was totally legal at the time, but that second meeting would have only had the resolution fully passed at that point, as it and become a resolution passed by council. That would have meant it only impacted the second meeting in June. But council decided to do it because, you know, and I did ask the mayor to return it for reconsideration because I think we need a little more reconsideration whether we should be doing less work or more work. And I tend to agree with everybody that spoke up and said, you know, we probably do need two meetings a month. It is mandated by our city code. Instead, and this is the irony that I just blows my mind, is they then requested a special meeting. So they're trying to do less meetings. So they require a special meeting that's only going to impact, which is for reconsideration, that's only going to impact the second meeting in June. Well, today's the first meeting in June. That special meeting was not necessary at all to call it. I don't understand the purpose. That is something we should have reconsidered tonight. It would have had no impact at all had we done that. So I think we're going to have more discussion about this, and for council to have less communication is not a good idea. I think we need more, and I think we're going to wind up with less open government than we've ever had. I just was not in favor of 217-262. I'm disappointed that council would call a special meeting to reconsider it, to add additional work to reconsider this when it had no impact. It made no sense to do that. And that's what I wanted to discuss about. I think we need to discuss whether we should have two meetings a month or reduce it to one. I will yield the floor.
Jennings, do you have anything?
I just note that Mr. Hoskins didn't bother to come to the special meeting, so what the heck?
No.
That's all I got.
No comment.
Cool.
Have
no. Mama, no comment. If there's no further business, we're adjourned. It's 8:07.